back, and next hour we're going to get you a new t-shirt and plenty more fun on the morning show right here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Welcome to Virginia. Welcome to the U.S.
Five Americans freed from wrongful detention in Iran have returned a day after the U.S. announced an agreement that would free up $6 billion worth of Iranian assets frozen in South Korea. Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Margaret Brennan is in nearby Washington, D.C.
The Biden administration insists the U.S. Treasury will be able to ensure the funds are only used for humanitarian purposes like food and medicine. The next stop for the freed Americans is a U.S. military facility in the D.C. area for medical support to prepare them to once again be free persons.
The president is scheduled to address the U.N. General Assembly next hour. CBS's Bo Erickson.
President Biden is expected to underscore the importance of countries working together, including with developing nations in the Southern Hemisphere. Mr. Biden is also set to underscore human rights as Russia's war in Ukraine lingers, and later in the week, he'll meet for the third time with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House.
Zelensky is scheduled to speak at the UN this afternoon. A senior State Department official says the U.S. has been in close contact with Canadian counterparts over allegations the Indian government was involved in the murder of a Sikh separatist leader in Canada, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Canada is a rule of law country. The protection of our citizens and defense of our sovereignty are fundamental.
India calls the allegations absurd. Each country has expelled top diplomats. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is weighing in on the UAW strike against the Big Three.
I think it's premature to be making forecasts about what it means for the economy. It would depend very much on how long the strike lasts.
The strike has entered its fifth day, and Union President Sean Fain is threatening to expand it if there's no significant progress in contract talks by noon on Friday. Would you post online if you had to pay for it? Elon Musk says he's considering charging people a small monthly fee to use X, says it's the only way he can think of to combat vast armies of bots. The Insurance Highway Institute for Safety tested four new minivans, found neither the Honda Odyssey, Toyota Sienna, Chrysler Pacifica, or the Kia Carnival had an acceptable job of protecting passengers. CBS's Christian Benavides.
The seatbelts in the back either put too much pressure on the chest or slid up, increasing the risk of abdominal injuries. It's important to stress vehicles are not less safe than before. The test is new and exposing the issue for the first time.
This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My ride smells just right, just right.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 72. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated storms tonight, 54. Mainly cloudy skies. Chance for isolated thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 56.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
We're here to have some fun and get you ready for the rest of the day ahead. We've got some good stories coming up. We have Google's top baby names we want to know the meaning of.
Ooh,
so we've got the
cool
name and what the name means.
Nice.
We'll get into that. That should be a little bit of that should be fun.
That should be good.
And the best and worst cities for surviving a zombie apocalypse. yeah,
I hope my friend Michael Kent is listening. Yeah, he's convinced it's going to happen. So
that should be a fun
it
one.
It should help him. Yeah,
we should have some fun with that one. That's coming up for you, along with some That Ain't Right stories and some local good stories of the day. All of that coming up. But we dive into entertainment and
okay,
to kick off this hour. And I am going to be honest. I don't want to talk about either of these two guys we start off our show with, but
okay,
you know, or start off the hour with. But here we are.
Here we are.
Elon Musk wants to make Twitter X, that he's calling it, but it's Twitter, a subscription-based service, meaning all users would have to pay a fee.
Okay.
Okay, I had to get that out of my system.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
In a roundtable yesterday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about AI safety, he said moving to a small monthly payment would be a way to fight against the vast armies of bots. Elon didn't say when users would start getting charged or how much the fee would be, besides it being small. If he charges a quarter a month for Twitter, and I am going to keep calling it Twitter.
That's fine.
I will laugh. I will send him a direct message just with laughing emojis.
Yeah.
And delete my account.
Mm-hmm.
That moment, that minute.
Yeah.
And I, to be fair, I feel that way about all social media.
Mm-hmm.
Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, any of them.
Yep.
You start charging for any of these, that is the, if you really want to, like, say if you were Zuckerberg or Musk or one of these people, and you actually did care about society, you actually did care about people. Like, let's just go ahead and walk down that magical rainbow road right now.
Yeah, I'm trying hard, man. I'm trying hard.
The quickest way to help society with social media is to start charging for it. That right away. I don't know the percentage, but off the top of my head, I feel comfortable saying at least 20 to 25% of people, at the least, I'm lowballing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's conservative.
Drop
yeah
social media yeah in a heartbeat.
I'm with you.
Now, the very next day, you would probably see also a lot of other new social media apps popping up that were free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you're ever going to kill social media.
No. That's around. That's here to stay for now, yes.
But
Where it comes from, the platforms we use, that's all, you know, all up for grabs, you know.
I'm saying this, sure, a little bit, hopefully it makes you laugh a little bit, but I mean this like 50% serious, 50% joking. I really think in the next 10 to 20 years, they're going to do master classes on how to ruin a business, and it's all what Elon Musk has done since basically coming out with the electric vehicle. They keep on calling, like, at least we're at the point now where nobody's calling him a genius anymore.
They've stopped doing that,
yeah,
thank you.
Thankfully. He's opened his mouth enough to realize, oh, yeah, that guy ain't that bright.
He's really not that smart.
Oh, no.
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 He's not even
and what he's saying, that this would help, you know, get them to be able to get rid of bots more and everything,
mm-hmm,
that has nothing to do with a payment system. What does a payment system have to do with your security?
No.
And you're being able to filter and vet mm-hmm your users so that you can get rid of these bots, which a lot of them are from foreign countries that mm-hmm are trying to skew our political system and things like that. If you could do something about that, get it done, man.
They would have done it already.
And
yeah,
not for nothing, you can go ahead and look this up in interviews. He claimed he was going to be able to do that when he bought Twitter.
Yeah.
He said he was going to fix the whole thing. How's that going?
Yes.
I use Twitter like Walmart. I'm in and out. I go there for a little bit for breaking news because whether we like it or not, that is where a lot of news breaks.
It's true.
And then I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm on there, like if I'm looking for a feed and I want to see there's some college football guys I follow or things like that.
Right.
It doesn't even show up on my feed anymore. I see all this nonsense. I see all these people that I'm not even following and stuff.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is just a masterclass in how to mess up
yep
a business that is running itself. I wouldn't ask Elon Musk to invest in a gumball with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I need a quarter. Anybody got a combo, a quarter and Elon Musk shows up? Like, ah, I'm good. I don't need it.
Yeah. I think a better question for him would have been, hey, by the way, what happened to the UAW Twitter thing? Mm-hmm. Just for that short period of time. What happened to that? It kind of disappeared.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Makes it interesting. Yeah, free speech and all, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mr. Free Speech. Uh-huh. And immediately does, oh, you said something bad about me? You're off Twitter. Yep. You said something bad about me? You're off Twitter.
Oh, wait, you represent a union? Oh, I hate unions. Can't have that.
Yeah, yeah. You talk about a wannabe dictator. We have a very, very good example of a guy who doesn't have enough clout, power, or smarts to actually like be a dictator of an actual country.
No,
so he's trying to do it with a social media site, and he's doing
it. He didn't want it in the first place.
Horrible job. Which, by the way, there's never been a good dictator. You know, like he approached this and brought up the term dictatorship and everything like it like we have some, you know, some history of good
aspirational, right?
Of this, yeah. Or something like, you know, that's Stalin. You know, there's no good dictators. There's no history of good dictators. And now Bill Maher.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, I mean, as if that wasn't rough, everybody. So, first, everybody followed Drew Barrymore's lead in announcing that they were going to be resuming production on their talk shows. When Drew did this, I don't think that she could have realized that everybody was waiting for one person to do it so that they could.
That's usually how it happens in Hollywood. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She does. And, of course, everybody came out, including Bill Maher. Bill Maher was very, as he is with everything, because Bill Maher can't just talk. He's got to sound, for one, arrogant, two, like he knows everything, and three, angry and aggressive and divisive.
Yeah.
He's just gotten worse and worse as he's gone along. He's always been this guy, but he's become only that.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be there was that, but then there was the guy that when Rowdy Roddy Piper tore him to shreds on Politically Incorrect, he owned it. He used to be that guy.
Yeah,
he used to be that guy that could admit when he was wrong. He's not that guy anymore. I don't know if he ever truly was that guy, but he definitely ain't now.
No, he's not.
And like I told you, Bill Maher has decided, quote, my decision to return to work was made when it seemed nothing was happening and there was no end in sight to the strike. Now that both sides have agreed to go back to negotiating table, I'm going to delay the return of real time for now and hope they can finally get this done. No, Bill Maher is doing this because he couldn't do it. He's a part of the Writers Guild.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do his show the way he wanted to, he would have to do new rules and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Maher is not that funny and cannot come up with these things on his own. He needs his writing team.
Yes.
So the idea was, okay, I'm going to come back and I'm just going to interview people. And that's all the show is going to be, is interviews with me and another person.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need writers for that, right? Yeah, you do. Who's coming up with the questions? Well, I am. Well, Bill, you're in the Writers Guild. You're breaking the line.
Yep.
And the arrogance of, well, I decided not to do this because they're coming back to the table. They've always been at the table, you idiot. They've always been there. No, you just got your sponsors. And you got a lot of people in your ear telling you, you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
For one, it's not going to be any good. And two, you aren't talented enough. You've never been talented enough. He's a very funny and insightful comedian, and he has angles and takes on things that oftentimes are different than anybody else's and can sometimes be funny.
Mm-hmm.
But on his own, he can't do any of this.
Mm-mm.
Go watch Bill Maher's stand-up. Watch Bill Maher's podcasts and see how entertaining they are compared to Real Time or Politically Incorrect or any of these things. I'm not trying to take a shot at him. I couldn't do it. I would need a team of writers.
Right.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying anybody, Jimmy, all these guys need that.
You're saying is that they're drinking their own Kool-Aid, basically, is what it is. And the funny thing is Bill Maher hasn't been relevant for how long?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Long
time. I don't understand why people still even – the only time anyone talks about Bill Maher is when something controversial happens on his show. That's that's it.
And that is the popularity of Bill Maher. That is why he has a TV show. That is why he is doing things like this, because Bill Maher realizes that more than anybody else.
Well,
the only time they talk about me anymore is if I come out and I say something silly or controversial.
Offensive or stupid. Yeah, exactly.
What a sad existence.
That is sad.
I would rather it be irrelevant.
Yeah.
I would rather mean nothing to society as a public figure than be that.
I am sure he is very well paid to be irrelevant.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very sad. It's just sad, you know?
Yeah. Him and Tucker Carlson are going to be working together any day now.
Oh, my God.
Any day
you
now.
You are so right.
That's good. I mean, just be on the lookout for that podcast or watch out for it, one or the other.
Don't get any on you.
I needed the palate cleanser already after those two, so I thought this was kind of funny, Seth. It might surprise you that professional golfers are still not allowed to wear shorts on the PGA Tour, but caddies have been able to since 1999.
Okay.
And now there is this big, actually I shouldn't say now, since August I want to say, there has been a huge push from the golfing community to let golfers wear shorts.
Right.
And has this stemmed from, athlete safety or, maybe they would be able to move better or golfing would be smoother or anything like that? Nope. We're sick of sweaty pants. Fans are pushing for this to change after seeing a couple of months ago Lucas Glover's sweat-soaked pants over the weekend. He competed and won the FedEx St. Jude Championship in Tennessee. And again, this was, I want to say back in August August that this took place. On one fan online says, quote, PGA Tour should overturn their ban on shorts on the strength of Lucas Glover's pants alone. Another said, quote, let's today's tournament in Memphis with triple-digit heat and Glover's sweaty pants be another reminder that it is absolutely ludicrous that players can't wear shorts on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. I find this hilarious that the fans are clamoring for this now. Oh, that is so funny.
It is hilarious, and it is time.
Yeah.
I just looked this up just to see it, and yeah, it's like, bad.
That's somewhat disturbing,
It is.
I'm sorry for him because he's had to deal with 20 pants, But at the same time, they've got a good point. They really do.
My only, and I'd love to hear what you guys think about this, 424-2600. My only issue with this is that they didn't do it sooner. I would have loved to seen Chichi Rodriguez in shorts. Mm-hmm. I'd see Freddie Couples. seeing some of these old school golfers. How about Jack Nicklaus in shorts?
Actually, I don't think it would have made it. I think that Payne Stewart had the right idea, because he wore the knickers, kind of the cutoffs. Yes. And with the long socks, of course, I don't know if that helps you with heat. But I always thought that he looked really snazzy with his outfits.
Oh, yeah.
So he was so good at that. He looked so nice.
Lee Torvino.
Yeah.
In shorts.
I just got a picture of Fuzzy Zeller in shorts. Ooh.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah, no.
It got
no.
dark quick.
Not everyone.
It got dark quick.
No.
Good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How's it going?
First thing I want to say, pretty good. First thing I want to apologize for not doing a very good reporter yesterday. Totally spaced out the afternoon show.
That's all right. Hey, we'll meet you next one on Monday. We'll talk then.
But it's kind of funny that they want the men to wear shorts. People are trying to push forward on that, and they let the ladies wear their skirt shorts, mm-hmm. or they give them the option of the skirt shorts or the pants.
Mm-hmm.
I might play devil's advocate a little bit here.
Yeah.
It's a uniform.
Oh, okay.
Do they let the baseball players wear shorts during baseball season?
Mm-hmm.
You know, football players wear shorts?
Yeah, yeah.
It's part of the uniform.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get where people are saying, because even during practice rounds, a lot of those guys do wear shorts, especially if they're doing practice rounds or they're going to the course before the tournament even starts. And they wear shorts, but it's my personal opinion. It's part of the uniform, makes them look professional. There's probably some guys out on the PGA Tour. You probably don't want to see their legs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think we were going down that road when you called up.
Yeah.
And thankfully, you stopped us from going too far down that road.
Ray Floyd. No, don't want to see Ray Floyd. No.
Phil Mickelson, man. I got a feeling he's got some knees. None of us want to see. but you bring up a really interesting point to me. I'm very clear. I'm not a gigantic golf fan, so I'm not going to pretend to have a real opinion on this one. I like the idea of players having the freedom to be able to do these things, because I think one of the cool things about golf is the fun outfits, is the the Payne Stewart, is some of that. But that being said, if you look at it as a uniform and other golf fans do, I have no issue with that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Just give him darker pants. I mean, just, you know, just have him wear.
Don't have to see the stains.
Yeah. I mean, right. Don't wear tan pants. You know? This seems pretty simple. That solves it right there.
Plenty of good websites out there with some really crazy designs for pants and, you know, things like that.
Maybe you can find it absorbent.
What he wears.
I was just going to say, oh, you hit it. You got it right as I was thinking it, man. John Daly. Like, John Daly should be the outlier for all of this. If John Daly can pull off what he pulls off and still win tournaments and everything.
Oh, man.
I don't feel like anybody's got a complaint. That's a good conversation. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
You too.
You too, man. Thank you for the call. We'll come back and have some more fun on this one. Now I got all these old golfers in my
going
head.
Going through in your head. Yeah.
We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Are you looking for help with nutrition? WFHR's current sponsor for the Kitchen's Open segment, the Southwood County YMCA, has a variety of options. Sign up for their 5-week Prevent and Thrive with Diabetes class that starts October 18th. Lunch and learn the last Wednesday of the month and watch delicious, healthy meals being prepared that you then get to eat. Visit their website, swcymca.org, to see the full list of classes and register, or call 715-818-9266.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 72. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated storms tonight, 54. Mainly cloudy skies. Chance for isolated thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 56.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, getting you ready for Melissa's news in a little bit, coming right up. Have you ever Googled your first name to find out what it means? Well, speaking of Google, they put out a list of the top baby names we've been Googling the meaning of this year, and here are the top 10.
Very cool.
It's kind of a fun list. I like this.
Yep.
And by the end, we will get into our name, Seth.
Okay, we're able to do that, yeah.
We will do that.
I'll make sure to look up my
You're
name
You're looking yours?
Here.
Okay, yeah, I got mine up too.
All right.
So, number 10, Aiden. Now, they don't spell it the way my good friend Aiden did growing up. Aiden spelled his with a Y. They spell this with an I.
Okay.
A-D-E-N. It's Gaelic, and it means little fire.
Little fire.
Little fire.
Not a bonfire. Just a little fire.
Theodore, from Greek, and also means gift from God.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got a nephew named Theodore.
That's a good name.
Yeah,
I like that name. I like the name Teddy too. I like the short. I like names that where you like the full name and the short name.
Yes,
I think those are fun.
Yep, Teddy, Theo. Yep.
Michael's like that.
Michael.
Mm-hmm. I like the name Michael. Michael from Hebrew, it means gift from God or godlike.
Yeah. Godlike. Ooh. Okay.
See, naming your kid Michael does seem like it's a little like that's a little heavy. But if they don't know, then
yeah, right.
Nova, one of the bigger names in the last couple of years, has been gaining a lot of steam. The name Nova, from the Latin word for new. So
I did not know that. But that makes sense though. Yes.
To go on.
Nova Scotia, New Scotland.
Yes. I didn't even think of that. Mm-hmm. Caleb, from Hebrew, it means brave, bold, or faithful.
Nice. It's interesting how many of our names come from the old Hebrew text.
Yes.
You know, it's really interesting. Some of our more traditional names.
It's that or Latin with so much of these.
Yep.
Ava, also from Latin.
So pretty.
I love the name Ava. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It means bird or bird-like.
Oh. Ava, avian, yeah, okay, got it, yeah. Makes sense.
Luke, from the Latin name Lucas, it means light-giving.
Ooh, very
that's
nice.
Interesting one. Yeah.
Late. Now every person named Luke has to be cheerful.
Yeah, and has to carry a lighter with them.
Yeah, right.
Everywhere. Emma from German. And we've got a handful of European names in there too. Emma's always been a great name.
Yes.
I love that name. That's one of those names too that doesn't feel like it's ever really gone away.
No, it's always
it's
been
always
in the
stayed
background.
Pretty steady.
Yeah.
Pretty steady. We always keep making Emmas, it seems like. Emma from German, it means entire or universal.
That's true.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Universal Emma. Wow, that's cool. That. Yeah.
How about Astrid? Astrid.
Oh, that's
another beautiful
another
name.
Great name.
Yeah. It's from Scandinavian. It means divinely beautiful.
What? That's really cool. First of all, Scandinavian.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. And it's a pretty name. Yeah, goes with a pretty face, I guess. So
we don't. We don't have a ton of Scandinavian names we use anymore like that. That's a good one. That's interesting. And the number one on this list of the names that we are Googling to find out the meaning of, Cheyenne. A Native American word, a meaning a people of a different language.
What?
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
Most people, I'll bet you, they like the sound of the name Cheyenne. They have no idea what it means, which I find very fun. Like, one of my favorites is Colton, which means coal town.
Oh,
literally means coal town.
That's so good. That's so good. So what about our own names?
Yeah, let's do that.
James is a class. I'm just reading straight. I'm Ron Bergening this. I'm just reading straight off of the search engine.
All right.
James is a classic, traditional, and biblical name. St. James, of course, was one of Jesus' 12 apostles, meaning supplanter or replacer. It's derived from the Latin Jacobus, which also means may God protect. Shakespeare was also a big fan of the name James. Jacques is another version I have heard, or Giacomo. Giacomo is the one that I was called quite a bit growing up, Giacomo.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that one real quickly in an Italian household, how you say James in Italian.
Yes.
Especially with growing up with three other Jameses.
Yeah, that makes it tough. So.
But supplant, I don't like the supplanter. Or replacer. I don't like that.
That.
That's
you usurper, you.
Yeah. What are they doing naming me that, man? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that.
Well, this is fascinating. Yeah. Okay, so Seth, the name Seth is both a boy's name and a girl's name. I did not know that.
I had no idea.
Of Hebrew origin meaning appointed or placed.
Huh.
Long neglected name of Adam and Eve's third son, after, of course, Cain and Abel. Seth is appreciated for its gentle, understated presence and strong middle name potential. It reached a high of number 63 in the year 2000.
Huh.
Really, that's high.
Yeah.
Like when I was growing up, I could count on one hand the other Seths that I knew. And the other thing is, because it's a Hebrew name, it tends to be, you know, Jewish people, mostly boys. Of course, you know, Seth Rogen,
Seth
Myers. Yeah, they're all Jewish folks. So I just realized something. Mm. If the two of us, if people didn't know who we looked like, you know, if we would have said, you know, the names James and Seth, it would make more sense if you were Seth and I was James.
It would make a lot more sense. That's hilarious. I'd never thought of that, but you're so right. That's
must be Seth. No, I'm James, actually. Yeah.
Every show going forward, we are changing our names. We are changing our names going forward.
That's right. Yeah.
I like it, actually. I think I can wear Seth. I can wear that. I think I can be all right with that. My father might be a little bit of
an
but that's a good one. We're going to get to Melissa's news now, but we'll have fun with this.
Yeah.
If you want to call up and give us your name and the meaning of it, let's have fun with it. Let's go ahead and hear it.
Yeah.
424-2600, call up and join the conversation. You can call up after Melissa's news. When we come back, we'll also have the best and worst cities for surviving a zombie apocalypse.
Get ready.
Yeah. You want to get your notebook out, take some notes
on
this next one.
Some prep work coming up here.
It's coming up after Melissa's news on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A small group of protesters gathered in Stevens Point Sunday night. News 9 reports they were rallying against changes to the benches in the downtown area. The benches now include a bar in the middle that stops a person from using the bench to lie down. The protesters feel this is targeted at unhoused people. Mayor Mike Wiese posted a response to the protest, saying, "Some seem to feel that the city is ignoring the problem or worse, actively working against solutions. That is simply not true. The city, together with many good people, has been working to find solutions for those who are unhoused. He went on to say that they will continue to work towards ensuring the community is a safe and welcoming place for everyone. Deer hunting season is approaching. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters and the public of how they can help slow the spread of chronic wasting disease. You must follow all baiting and feeding bans and refrain from baiting and feeding in areas where no bans are in effect. CWD is nearly always fatal to elk, deer, moose, and caribou. It's spread through contact with an infected animal's saliva, urine, or feces. Baiting and feeding deer encourages them to congregate unnaturally. It creates an environment where infected deer can quickly spread diseases like CWD to healthy deer. The new surface has been installed at the Cache Playground in Stevens Point. The city department is reminding people to stay off the surface for a few days so the glue and material can adhere and dry properly. The parks department will take down the security fence when the surface and playground are ready to use. A new dental assistant training program will soon be available in central Wisconsin. Next week, Mid-State Technical College and Family Health Center of Marshfield will host an event to celebrate the agreement of the new partnership. The event will take place on Tuesday, September 26th from 8 to 10 at the Family Health Center of Marshfield. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News on WFHR and WIRI, your locally grown radio stations.
Club Forest Bar and Grill is featuring a mouth-watering tailgate pizza in honor of football season. But that's not all. Come see if you can win big with Pull Tab Happy Hour during Packer games. And don't forget their famous wings, only 50 cents during game time. What's more football than that? Lace up those shoes and come out for the next game. Club Forest Bar and Grill, 1176 Club Forest Drive in Plover, your Packer Party headquarters and a proud supporter of Pet of the Week with WFHR and Southwood County Humane Society.
Around the corner,
around the country,
or around the world, take WFHR with you wherever you go.
Take us to work, on the boat, or in the stand this hunting season.
Download the Civic Media app and make WFHR your co-pilot all day, every day. And never miss another news update, Badger game, or serious comedy to start your day.
WFHR is here for our community by keeping you informed and entertained. So take us with you and never miss a beat.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 72. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated storms tonight, 54. Mainly cloudy skies. Chance for isolated thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 56.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James here with you, along with little Steve Miller.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows.
In every zombie movie, you hear that song. No, but that was good.
It was a good try. It was a good try.
In every zombie movie and TV show, the cities always get hit the hardest. So this list might be a little suspect. Someone ranked the best U.S. cities for surviving a zombie apocalypse. And three of America's biggest cities made the top five.
Really?
That's kind of interesting.
Okay. All right.
Houston is supposedly number one.
Hmm.
New York, number two. Los Angeles is fifth. And to be fair, they only looked at big cities, the 200 largest in the U.S. It's probably a given that middle of nowhere Alaska would be better. A similar study a while back found Alaska would be the best state for a zombie apocalypse.
This is what we should be studying.
Right? My God. For this, they looked at 30 different metrics across five categories: vulnerability, mobility, supplies, hideouts, and fools. No, I'm kidding.
And bait.
Like, yes, yes. Like how many people. Bait. That's. That was good. Yeah, let that sit for a second. That was good. Also, like how many people had basements and, quote, protection, or how easy it would be to find weapons. According to the results, the 10 best cities for a zombie apocalypse, get your notebook out, make sure to write these down, Houston, New York, San Antonio, Miami, L.A., Austin, San Diego, Las Vegas, Chicago, and Orlando. From a supply standpoint, New York has the most. For hideouts, it's Minnesota's Twin Cities. For weapons, it's Houston. That's not shocking to anybody.
Yeah, it's sad, but true.
And Miami is the least vulnerable overall. I get with the water, with the ocean, I suppose.
Of course, with global warming, Miami won't be there much longer, but you know.
I love that they're assuming, well, zombies can't swim. We don't know
we
that.
We don't know that.
We have no idea because, spoiler alert, there's never been real zombies. It's not a real thing.
Okay, first of all, a couple things right here. First of all, basement being safe. Have they not watched the original movie?
Yeah, come on.
Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, you gotta, I mean, it tells you
look
right
what happens
in the original.
In the come on.
Yeah, one of the worst seats. Yeah, it's in the basement.
It is. Come on now. Jeez.
Miramar, Florida, just north of Miami, ranked last overall. So that's the worst city to be in for a zombie apocalypse. So you might want to move if that's a concern.
Miami,
to you.
I guess.
Yeah, I really love this city. The schools are great. The taxes aren't bad, but they showed up last on the zombie apocalypse list, so we're going to have to move.
My friend that I mentioned earlier, Mike, he actually came up with where he thought, especially around here, would be the best place for the zombie apocalypse. Ooh. And I have to say, he put some really good thought into it, and I have to agree with him. The Dells.
Oh.
One of the resorts at the Dells, because it's an enclosed area. Yep. You've got lots of resources there. You know, you've got that stuff. And so I was like, actually, you know, that's not a bad idea.
It's not bad. That's not bad. having just been there over the weekend,
yeah,
I can tell
exactly.
you that I definitely could see that. Especially, you know, the resorts are a good idea, but there we are taking the ducks, and right at the end of the tour, we had to cross the street to this one spot, and there was a house to the side that I thought was a hotel. It was just a house.
Wow.
But it was so nice, so big, and it looked so cool that I thought, I'd stay in that. But
yeah.
I don't know how long I'd survive, but if I'm going to go out, I'm going out.
Enjoy yourself,
I'm enjoying myself. I want a house with a pool, all that stuff. I'm not worried about, you know, being able to, you know, stay safe or what. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to enjoy myself while I'm going out. Like, if it's the end of the world, I'm having a good time.
Let's do it.
The five worst cities you could be in are Miramar, Florida, Jackson, Mississippi, North Las Vegas, Paterson, New Jersey, and Pembroke Pines, Florida.
So wait a minute. So why are all the big cities the good ones and these smaller, you know, they're not tiny cities, but those are all smaller cities that are the worst? How does that work?
Yeah, I would think that if there was a zombie apocalypse, like I'm staying right here in Rapids.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a small city it seems a lot easier to me to navigate than a big city. And they always have, like, we've seen the movies. All the zombies go to the big cities.
Yeah, yeah. Well, except, you know, again, let's go back to the first one. So that's an isolated farmhouse. Where did all those zombies come from?
Yeah.
And why were they all going towards the house? Yeah. Is it just because there's that many I'm just giving George Romero a hard time. But anyway.
I know that we have a planet that is just filled to the brim of people, but it always boggles my mind in these zombie movies that there seems like there's a billion more people than there actually are.
I would say the perfect place is Nebraska. You know, let's go in the fields of Nebraska. I think you'll be safer there.
Montana?
Yeah.
You know, Wyoming?
Right,
yeah, that's where I'm heading.
Or the mountains.
Like
we don't know if zombies can climb mountains.
But,
we should go up higher, you know, go to Denver or something like that.
How do we know that zombies aren't afraid of light or the dark or you know, bird noises? I don't know. I mean, what are we doing? 424-2600. What's more likely, zombies or Bigfoot? Come on. I mean, we'll pull it in
from all the strands now.
It's just hilarious to me, though, too, about it. Look, we're doing this on National Pirate Day.
Yes,
and what we have done culturally with pirates, we discussed earlier in the show, that the pirates didn't talk like that. It's
nope.
just because of an actor that played that character in Treasure Island
yep,
and everything.
Yeah.
And what we have done with zombies, where they're so a part of the pop culture in movies and TV shows that you've got people out there actually like sitting and doing real research, trying to figure out, well, I wonder, would I be safe here from a zombie apocalypse? You know, in Night of the Living Dead, they did this or that. These aren't documentaries. What are we doing? These are not docs. This is the, you didn't, no, you didn't, you watch The Walking Dead because you like to see things die.
Yeah, people get killed, right?
Gore and guts. You weren't watching and taking notes at, like, well, this is really going to help me one day when there's a zombie apocalypse.
All I'm going to say is the ending of Shaun of the Dead. That'll give you what kind of really what
there
it's going to be like.
Yeah, that'll do it. Good morning. You're on the show.
I just had to weigh in on this conversation about zombies.
Mm.
This is Mel, by the way, Melissa.
Yes.
I don't know that we can get the information because you have to actually interview a zombie.
Oh, good point, Melissa.
Right?
And they're hard to understand.
Yes.
They are,
They're difficult to interview.
Yeah.
One syllable responses to all the questions. They don't give you full sentences. It's a very difficult interview to give.
Am I wrong in thinking I want zombie politicians now? Is that wrong of me? Is that...
No more sound bites.
No,
yay.
We almost have that.
So. Nice.
I also had to try the one button dialing on the app. To call you guys because I was listening on the app and it was so easy to just push call and it went right to my call feature on my phone. And as soon as I tried to call you guys, it shut my radio off. It was so slick.
Oh wow. That is awesome.
That is very
nice.
Cool. Nice job, Mel. Nice work.
App testing going on.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
We missed you. It's
enjoying
good
listening to you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Looking forward to talking on Thursday, Melissa.
Oh, yeah. Well, have a good rest of your show.
You have a good day. Good. Always good to talk to Melissa. That was good.
You know, you'd think she'd take the time off. I'm still listening to us. Boy, I tell you.
That seems like a work.
It does.
I have to
pay
do that.
That.
We do not. But I'm so glad she called in. That is such a great point. I love that. The idea. If we could interview zombies, though, I. You know what, Pam? Let's work on that.
I was going to say, Midday Magazine needs a zombie interview. I can just see James now. So being a zombie, would you stop biting me?
Just
stop!
Off,
get, stop!
Off.
Stop it! Get off!
Get off! off! Now, tell me about your influences.
Yeah.
Now, we'll be back with more morning show here at WFHR.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 72. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated storms tonight, 54. Mainly cloudy skies. Chance for isolated thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 56.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320.
Well, that actually didn't sound so bad with that music.
No, it didn't.
That actually
kind of went with it.
So I kind of went with it, all right.
I walk along the city streets you used to walk along with me.
Boom. Ah, 80s.
Underrated band, Naked Eyes. They were awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seth and James here, and we're getting into an interesting one right now. If you walk around your house, will there be something to remind you of me? Well,
What?
Yeah.
You got me there.
If you walk around your house and think, this place is never clean, well, you're not too far away from the normal.
Oh, okay.
According to a new report, the average person considers their home to be completely clean only 11 days out of the year.
That's not a lot of days.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not even one day per month. And it also comes out to just 3% of the time.
Jeez.
People spend an average of 6 days per year cleaning and sanitizing their homes. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to cleaning, the average person has 6 items on their to-do list. The things more likely to be done are vacuuming, rugs and carpets, mopping floors, and laundry.
Okay.
The things that are most likely to be overlooked are thoroughly cleaning appliances, wiping down countertops, and dusting shelves.
Dusting is always on the bottom of the list. Poor dusting.
Yeah. I was the one in charge of dusting in our house usually because I was tall and I could, you know, get right up above things and stuff. I learned really quick not to stand under where you were dusting.
Otherwise you start sneezing.
Man,
yeah.
I did that at least twice as a kid. I owned it. I did it. I hope that this gives I think one of the things that I first think of with this is the amount of people out there that beat themselves up about their home not looking like it's supposed to look like the Joneses or something like that. The Joneses' house doesn't even look like it's supposed to.
It's the same.
Yeah. I mean,
now, I had an example of one of those houses growing up. It was my grandparents. My grandma was one of those, you know, super spick and span people. Nothing was out of place kind of thing. But that's the exception.
Yeah,
let's just say that because everyone else that I've is more normal. It's lived in. You got to live, you know, and that's going to happen, especially when you have kids.
Yes. I mean, outside of you living alone, I have no issue with a quote unquote messy house. I think there's a line in the sand. I think that if you have a enough sand in your house that you can create a line, that's wrong. It's too much. No. Obviously there's certainly too much or there's laziness, quite bluntly. But then there's the people that are trying their hardest to keep up. And again, you bring up kids and kids are messy. Kids just drop things.
Yep.
Kids don't say, my jacket goes here. No, my jacket goes wherever I am and where I'm standing at that
the moment.
It just falls on the floor. And you can go ahead and miss me with the, well, that's because you're not trying hard enough. You're not teaching your kids hard enough. Miss me with that, man.
No.
Most every parent is trying their hardest with these things.
But we have to repeat ourselves so often.
Right. What I come back to with an article like this is actually something we touched on when we were talking about doting parents. Mm-hmm. And we didn't get a chance to go back on. But one of the reasons or one of the things of it that came about was the idea of worrying about what other parents think.
Yeah.
And other parents judging other parents. Like, there is a few things in this world that irritate me more than another parent telling another parent how to parent.
Yeah.
Like earlier, you and I were going back and forth about the ideas of parenting and our opinions on it and everything. And we're throwing those opinions out there into the ether.
Yep.
It's very different than if I got a parent in front of me and I'm barking at them, telling them those things.
Right.
Like, I have no problem saying stuff out there, writing a self-help book or any of that stuff, go right ahead with that. Mm-hmm. But if you're one-on-one or if you're on social media and you're calling out other parents or judging other parents, that's fine as long as you are a perfect parent.
Yeah. And we know there's no such thing.
No such thing.
No such thing, everybody.
I've always thought this, and I've said this since I was a little kid. There is no such thing as a perfect crime. Crime is an immoral act, therefore it cannot be perfected.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just a movie trope. It's just kind of an idea and stuff. There is literally no perfect crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with parenting. If you're doing it right, it's messy.
Yes.
If you're doing it right, chances are it is going to be messy, including your house.
Yep.
It's going to be a little messy.
There's going to be mistakes, and there's going to be a little bit left over.
Imagine if you grew up with perfect parents. You grew up, I mean, literally perfect parents. They did nothing wrong. Everything was right. They always sliced the bread perfectly. They showed up to work on time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's hard enough to live up to our parents. Imagine living up to that. It's a good thing you're not perfect.
Yeah, no.
That's how your kids learn.
Exactly. That's how we learn everything. Yeah. Mistakes. Yeah. Experience. if your parents were like that, I bet you you're the worst person in the world. Seriously,
yeah,
because it'd be like you'd be like, forget it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go commit some crimes.
I am never gonna be that, so I'm going the other route. I'm going the other direction.
Super rebellion,
you know,
right?
Lex Luthor, this. I'm going to be on the other side.
We will take a quick commercial break. Come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it. The moon.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry, though. It'll be fine.
Yeah, all right. You got me. I give up.
That's it. The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 72. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies. Tonight, slight chance for isolated thunderstorms. Lows level off around 54. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, chance for isolated thunderstorms. Highs level off around 82. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 59.
Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a good Tuesday out there. Thanks for hanging out with us. I'm going to take it to the top of the hour to wrap up our show. Stick around, as goes Wisconsin. Plenty more coming up here on your Civic Media Networks.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Got some That Ain't Right stuff we got to get to here, Seth.
And all right, this we got to do it.
This is it. Yeah, it
no
is
one
it.
Else will.
Start right. You've heard the saying that that's the blind leading the blind, and this might be the most literal example of that.
Ooh,
a woman on social media who claims to be a holistic coach says that people with diminished eyesight are told that they need eyeglasses or contact lenses, but that is a lie. And for $11 per class, she can explain why. Her name is Samantha Lotus, and she claims that she offers simple, holistic, multidimensional healing methods that are backed by science. She also says that if you're closed-minded and want to stay a victim, this is not for you. Wow. Way to sell it, lady. Way to sell it.
Jeez.
Obviously, this seems like a scam, but some people didn't see it coming. I'll see myself out. Seth will run the rest of
Where's
the show.
Where's the hook
everybody.
Here?
Yep, yep, yep. Obviously, a popular TikToker named Mallory says she enrolled, so we don't have to. We can go ahead and go through
okay.
this. Yep. She uses her platform to debunk misinformation and conspiracy theories, this person with this TikTok.
Nice.
Name. Mallory says the whole thing is basically a sales pitch for essential oils, specifically for the company that Samantha is a rep for.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha denies that this is a grift and says that her teachings include tips on avoiding blue light, reducing screen time, using specific eye and neck exercises, blah, blah, blah. She's from Canada, and the Canadian Association of Optometrists say that they are not aware of the existence in peer-reviewed scientific literature of any evidence to support her claims.
Because there isn't.
Samantha is not a doctor, shocker, but she claims that she has studied psychology and sociology. She claims this, you know.
Well, if
so did L. Ron Hubbard.
Yep.
So,
I mean, a good comp there.
Yeah.
But first of all, psychology and sociology is not going to help you improve someone's eyesight.
No.
Come on now.
And I always like to say to these people that have these things, if it works, give it away. Give it away, and if it works, enough people are going to see that, and they'll start paying you for it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's dealing 101. Mm. I mean, not to be blunt about it or anything, but I mean, this
100%,
is...
100%, man.
This is consumerism.
Yeah.
Let them try it. If they like it, they'll come back.
Exactly.
If it truly works, Samantha, well, then go ahead and test. Let somebody do it on somebody. You know, see it works. Other people are going to see that, and they're going to come running to you.
Yeah, exactly. 100%.
But spoiler alert, it doesn't work.
You start with a paywall. I mean, come on.
That's that right away you miss me.
That's a red flag right there. Yeah.
It's like another thing like social media. Mm-hmm. I am not paying to follow you. Whoever you are, I don't care if you were Robin Williams. I am not paying to follow you.
Nope.
That's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of in my life.
Silly.
What information? Think of being that arrogant that your information is that good that people should pay for it. It's ridiculous. It's
ridiculous.
One of the issues with this to me, though, and one of the biggest that ain't right parts of this is that there are actually decent holistic medicines out there. That there is an actual like history going way, way, way back to India and different places like that.
Oh, yeah.
And China
absolutely.
And Asia and all that, where there are some stuff. Hey, this Jinkoba, it works pretty good. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, ginseng's pretty good. Like, they take those things and they muddy up the whole water. So that people think like all stuff is bad. That's a shame because there is some beneficial stuff out there. I'm not saying it's going to cure blindness, but there's stuff out there that's going to help your aches and pains. There's stuff out there that can help your dragging, or maybe you need less energy. Who knows? And what it is, whatever it is.
Right. Exactly.
There's decent stuff out there.
There is. So yes, but caveat emptor, I guess. Buyer beware.
Yeah. Yeah. We need a palate cleanser. Let's get to some local good stories of the day, Seth. And we got one for superheroes out there.
We do. Superhero pirates, maybe even. Arr. Got a blood drive happening today from 10 to 3 at the former East Junior High School, room 111 at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. If you want more information or you want to give an appointment, I don't know if they're still taking appointments, but you can always call 866-566-5900. That's for the Blood Center of North Central Wisconsin, which, by the way, is the primary supplier of blood to Aspirus Riverview Hospital. Walk-ins, of course, are also welcome. So they're going to be opening up here in just a couple of minutes. So go down there and give some blood. If you missed today, you got another chance Monday the 25th from 2 to 7 in the same place as the former East Junior High School, room 111.
Arr, I'm Batman.
Yeah, and talk like a pirate when you're all right, Batman. Pirate Batman.
Pirate Batman. Pirate Ooh. Batman. It just came to me.
I smell a new Lego figure.
I'm working on the script right now. Arr. Say my name. So bad. Our great friends over at Family Natural Foods have this wonderful free lecture coming up today. You can meet Dr. Tracy Kreider. She is going to be at Family Natural Foods today. The lecture will begin at 5:15. Come on by for this free lecture about your immune health.
Nice.
Dr. Tracy is such a good talker and so in the know of this stuff and of gut health and of helping you with this part of your body and a subject that not everybody feels comfortable talking about. But I guarantee you, you get to this lecture and you're going to feel very comfortable talking about it and asking questions. Mm-hmm. She is a very Bill Nye, a very Neil deGrasse Tyson type, where she can talk about these complex things and break it down to where I can understand.
Science communicators, what they're called. Yeah, they're
and
very good.
And it's a free lecture.
It's free.
It's pretty cool.
Cost you nothing.
A big shout out to our friends at Family Natural Foods hosting this, having this event, bringing Tracy back. We appreciate them. Get on over to Family Natural Foods. Their doors are open. They're at 910 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. And again, the lecture will begin at 5:15. And we thank Dr. Tracy for coming to town again. That's going to be nice. And a big thank you to Steve and Katrina and your whole team over there and the great work you're doing for our community.
Absolutely.
I wanted to get to this, too, but before we have one other thing we want to touch on. Join us for the relaunch of Mick Millen's concert series.
That's awesome.
Yes. The jazz duo guitarist Rory Stewart and saxophonist Glenn Wilson will be performing both original tunes and some old favorites.
Nice.
This is going to be taking place this Thursday from 7 to 9 over at McMillan Library's Fine Arts Center. Go ahead and head on over there and enjoy yourselves, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. And we have just a reminder that they're still collecting books for the book sale. That's all through September. They'll be collecting books. And the book sale itself will be going on from October 12th through the 14th, from 8:30 to 6 on the 12th and the 13th. And then the bag sale will be happening from 8:30 to 2 dollars a bag on October 14th. 100% of the profits go to Mid-State Technical College scholarships. And we want you to know, of course, it's over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church at 310 First Avenue South. We'll be accepting credit cards this year, so keep that in mind. Yeah. And there'll be free baked goods, kids' activities, and coffee while you browse, because, of course, there will be. Get you comfortable for that. So,
Be sure to join us for Midday Magazine today. In part one, Dr. Nathan Black, PhD, District Administrator with School District of Nakusa, will be joining us.
Very nice.
Really looking forward to talking to the doctor there. And in part two, our great friend, my big sister, and I do mean that in many ways, Terry John's going to be joining us, and Brian DeWitt, Campaign Chairman. We're talking United Way in part two at 3:30 today. Be sure to join us for Midday Magazine all week long.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. And get in on the naming chicken. Name that chicken, everybody. Go to wiscountry.com/chicken, wiscountry.com/chicken, and get in on the naming. We appreciate everybody doing that. And how would you like to win a shirt?
I would like to win a shirt. Oh, wait, I can't.
I'm sorry. Yes, you cannot win. the old radio trope of waiting to the last segment to give something away. I never do this, but we're doing
it today. He
doesn't.
He's doing it today.
We're doing it today. We're going to have some fun with it. Call up 424-2600. Tell us something you love about WFHR, something you love about Civic Media, any of the above. We'd love to hear it. And as long as you know your shirt size, you get a new shirt.
The fact they give away shirts. That's all you need right there.
That's pretty cool right there. 424-2600.